before me, Exodus 20, verse 3. And I titled this message, Say No To, and then it's dot, dot, dot. And I was going to write, Say No To Other Gods, but it's not proper to put a capital, to put a small letter for a title. And I didn't want to put a capital for the other gods because they're not even really gods at all. And in the Hebrew language here, the no is emphatic. And it reminded me, when I was younger, sometimes I heard this, say no to drugs. There was this saying, and it's definitely, we should say no to drugs. Drugs can mess up your life. And yet we should also say no emphatically to any other gods. It's a great big loud no that is here in the Hebrew. The no comes first. And in the universe in which we live, created by God, one sin is bigger or more hate and more hated and more connected to all the other sins as their root. No other sin is like this one, idolatry. It's the worst. And the Israelites knew idolatry. They had been slaves in Egypt, where practically everything was considered either to be or to be connected to a god. And as you remember, there was the snake god, the frog god, the river god, the sun god, the sky gods, the storm gods, the cow gods or the cattle gods, and goddesses. And there were gods and goddesses of sex and fertility and gods and goddesses of love and war. And Pharaoh was a god and his sons were or could be gods. And Israel was saved from such a world. And they were forbidden in the strongest terms from going back. Really going back was going back to these other gods. And going to these other gods would put them back in slavery. If not to human beings, to these other gods. And yet they did. They worshipped against this command. We see it didn't take very long. In the book of Judges, it says, and they forsook the Lord their God, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down and they provoked the Lord to anger. And the book of Joshua is right before Judges, and as soon as Joshua died, that's Judges chapter 2, they forsook God, and they started to worship other gods. They worshipped, what were some of the gods they worshipped? Well, there was Baal. Baal is a very, you read about him all through the Old Testament. I'm just picking out a few verses here. It says, now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. So a king of Israel married a Baal worshiper and started worshiping Baal himself and building temples for Baal. And when you read about Ahab and Jezebel, which I'm not going to do tonight, they were wicked, wicked people. And talk about a man who was, led around by his wife into evil. This guy was the one. Jezebel's name is known for being evil. You don't usually hear people naming their children Jezebel, unless they're Satanists. The Queen of Heaven is also mentioned. It says, as for the word, these people are talking to Jeremiah, and they're saying, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. These are the Israelites to the prophet Jeremiah. We will not listen to you, but we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then we had plenty of food and were well off and saw no trouble. When we worshiped the Queen of Heaven, everything went well for us, Jeremiah. Forget speaking to us about the true and living God. This is what Israel said. These are the people who God told Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. I thought I had more than that. I guess I didn't. How do people fall into the worship of idols? Well, one, they suppress the knowledge of the true and living God. And we see this in Romans 1. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. And we have done this in our country. We have given up the knowledge of God. When did we do that? Well, two landmark decisions. Our leaders in 1962, they got rid of prayer. And in 1963, they kicked the Bible out of schools. And in that sense, they took God, you could say, because the school is where our children would learn. They took God out of our knowledge, officially. And they did not want us to learn about God. And for the most part, unless people were avid churchgoers, unless they were bringing up their children and homeschooling them, they were denied this knowledge. And what knowledge are they denied? Well, God's eternal power and Godhead should be seen even in the creation. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Notice it says, for since the creation of the world, these invisible attributes, how can invisible attributes be clearly seen? Well, they're seen in the creation itself. We look at creation, and we should know by the creation that there is a God. John Whitcomb has there's a great video, and one of his quotes at the very beginning or near the beginning is, he says, as a building requires a builder, creation demands a creator. When we see a computer, if we saw a laptop computer on the beach, we would immediately know it was somebody made that. The wind and the waves just didn't blow it together. And why do we say that? Because we see it and we know it's complex. We know it's not just it's not randomly put together, that there's order to it. And when we look at creation, there's much more order to the simplest animal than there is to a computer like that. And we should think immediately, there has to be a creator. These things just don't fly together. You don't bomb a library and then it becomes a great big giant dictionary with all the words, every letter in order. And it would be easier to do that. That would be more likely than the creation we have. However, in our modern world, we followed flunking theologians. And when I say flunking theologians, Charles Darwin was a flunking theologian. He went to study to be a pastor and he flunked out. He never really studied science. He just made up things as he went. The same thing with Al Gore. He studied to be a pastor, to be a theologian, and he flunked. And he couldn't do it. And he pretends now he's a scientist. And evolution and global warming, these are all their denials of God's creative power. These are things, you know, God created the world and he controls our world. He's in control of these things. And we see where men have gone wrong. The global warming is leading really to Gaia and the worship of Earth. And evolution is really a kind of a worship of the creatures. You're saying they were the things that created us. That's what the next point is in Romans. They exchange the glory of God into images. When people deny the Creator, Scripture tells us that they must replace him with something else. If they're not going to worship God, they end up bowing down to other things. It says in Romans 1:23, and they changed, or as the ESV says, or exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And so there's God in heaven, but what kind of statues did they make? They made statues of animals, and they bowed down to these things. And I believe we do the same thing today when you look in a book and you see like pictures like I have in your bulletin of the ape, and he's coming to be a human being. And there's no truth to that. We don't see that. Do we see that happening in the world? The fossil record doesn't back that. They try to pretend that it does. But everything that they find in the fossil record is either an ape or a human. Or sometimes maybe they take some of the human bones and they push them with the ape bones, try to put them together. But it's not something in between. But they're trying to find that. And the same with other animals. Saying we came from animals and were not created by the Creator is giving the glory or the credit for the power to creation itself to something other than God. And in that sense, you're setting up an idol. You're setting up a false god. And we see that happening. Evolution is accepted now. You know, every time you hear a science TV show, which I don't even watch them anymore, if they talk about an animal, they always talk about millions of years. This animal evolved millions of years. They always say that. But they never back it up with any proof of that, which they can't. They just say it as if it's all true. And supposedly this creative power to evolve is something the animals did without God. And that's taking away the glory of God and giving it to to corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. This exchange, point number three, destroys our minds and our lives as God judges such people by letting them go. It says here, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. When you go through that list and you look at what's going on in the world today, isn't it like an exact match, if I took the time, which I usually don't on Sunday evening, I bet you I could find something to match each one of these things in the news. or not even just in the news, but maybe even with people we know. Not that I want to do that at all, but we could figure it out pretty easily. We'd find, and to just one, you wouldn't have to have the preacher to do this either. Any of you could do it. You could point out examples of this, these things going on in the world. And abandoning theology, the knowledge of God, abandoning the Bible, the only true source of true knowledge about God, leads to dehumanizing immorality. This is the reason we have abortion on demand. Why is it? If you believe that that little baby is a person created in God's image, you will not abort that baby. Not usually. If you really believe what the Bible says, because you'll know God will judge you for that. But if you think, like the evolutionists say, we're just another animal, we're no more valuable than a cow, that baby is just so much protoplasm and flesh, and it's not really a human anyway, and even if it is a human, it's not nothing, then you have no problem with these things. The same thing with homosexual marriage. You know, Scripture says God made man male and female. And that's the way God designed us. And He designed us to have certain roles. He designed us with particular plans and purposes in mind. And when you take God out of the picture, poor people get confused about these things. Because they're not taught about God. They're not taught that this is the way we were created. We just evolved. I remember, you know, online getting in a little debate about this. They don't want to hear anything about Scripture if you're talking about the other side. How do they decide what's wrong, right and wrong? They don't appeal to Scripture. A lot of times, I got in the little debates and they would say, the animals are doing it. If the animal does it, it's okay. And, you know, it's consistent with evolution. You believe the animals, that's where you came from, they're doing it. Now, I don't even know if you can say how many animals do that, but that's what the argument was. The animals are doing it. It's this animal or that animal. Sometimes they put a specific animal that they said that did this, and that's why it was okay. This is the reason we see more and more craziness in our society, not just abortion and gay marriage, but all these things, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, all of these things. You know, when I think of one of the things that's listed there, disobedience to parents. You know, kids, you know, that's not usually thought of as a terrible sin anymore. I remember when my children were little, sometimes they'd watch the cartoons on television, and lucky daddy was there. Daddy would teach against these things sometimes, but they'd see these things, and a lot of the cartoons, the kids were really, really smart in those cartoons. They were always the heroes. The parents, if there were parents in the cartoons at all, were always dumbos. They always needed saving by the children. And the parents were always pictured in this very negative way. Why is that? Why, again and again, even if the parents were lovable, they were stupid lovable. That's just the way our society is going. God would tell us to honor our father and mother. But our society is saying, no, your parents don't need to know anything. You need to listen to us. That's the basic idea that the cartoon is telling you. Hey, you're the one that knows everything. You know that this is right and this is right, which the things they're telling them are right are not right. We've abandoned God. We've replaced Him with idols. Maybe even some of those cartoons are kind of like idols, or they're trying to be. And a lot of the television that we have. And God has judged us by giving us over, it says, to a depraved mind. When you think of some of the things people do, your depraved mind just fits perfectly. How do we respond to such things? Well, for ourselves, we must choose God, and we must seek to know Him and make Him known. In the end of Joshua, the book of Joshua, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was Joshua's determination. As for him and his house, he says, "I will serve the Lord." But notice what went before that. When he says that, he's talking about all these false gods. He's saying, are you going to serve them? What are you going to do? Are you going to choose to serve God? Now, God had brought them out of Egypt. God had given them the Ten Commandments by that time. Joshua is close to his death. He's older at this point. And he's calling them, this is kind of his deathbed call to them, appeal to them, to continue to be faithful, because they had been faithful up to that time. He's telling them just what God says in that first commandment: "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Say no to idols. Say yes to the living and true God and His knowledge." Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." This is theology that verse is talking about. He's saying, let that be your goal, to know God, to know about God. To know what the Bible says. Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's eternal life, is to know God and to know Jesus. And not just to know the facts about Him, but also to have that relationship. You pray to Him. You see the answers to prayer. And notice Joshua told the people they could not do this. This is a very interesting passage, because if you go further in Joshua 24, it says, "So the people answered and said," this is right after Joshua says, he said to them, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he's challenging them to make a commitment themselves. And it says, "So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." They didn't want, they said, "That's a horrible thing. Why would we forsake the Lord to serve other gods?" And he said that, and they continue, "For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." That's wonderful what they said, isn't it? They remembered everything the Lord did for them, and they're saying, "How could we forsake Him after He's done all this for us?" And that's when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that's what we're doing. We're remembering what Christ did for us. How could we forsake Him when He died for us? How could they forsake God when He brought them out of Egypt, when He led them through the wilderness, when He defeated all these other people for them? And that was their answer. Here's what Joshua said to the people, verse 19. "But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore he said, put away the foreign gods. Notice they still had foreign gods. This is after they'd been through the wilderness. They've been through the whole lifetime of Joshua. They've conquered a lot of the land, but they still had foreign gods. That's one of the reasons I think Joshua is telling them, you need to put away these foreign gods. Why you can't do it? Because you still are hanging on these things a little bit. And he says, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. And so he's telling them, it's a hard thing to keep covenant with God, because we have a tendency to go away from him. This is, you know, I asked this question, how should we understand this? Well, one, our natural tendency as sinners is to move away from God. It says in Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Our carnal mind, our fleshly mind is enmity with God. That's why when you look at the history of the church and you look at different denominations, almost every denomination, eventually it abandons God. You can see that time after time. And then a new denomination is made, that of the faithful remnant. But the old denomination will go that way. It's happened already with the Presbyterian Church, with the PCUSA. They've abandoned God, and we're one of the new denominations that have come out of that. There's several new ones, but they've already abandoned God. They don't believe the Bible is the Word of God anymore. They'll tell you that, most of them, not all of them. There's some faithful still within that denomination, but the denomination as a whole has gone away. Even the best of us are not up to the level of commitment and devotion sometimes we think we are. Peter, remember what Peter said to Jesus. He said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. This is kind of like when Joshua is saying to the people, you will not serve God. You're going to have trouble with this. You have to be more humble about your abilities. And that's what Jesus was saying to Peter. Before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And by the grace of God, Peter was kept, because Jesus prayed for him, and he didn't fall away like Judas did. He was revived, and he became a great man of God, serving God. But this reminds me, back to 1 Corinthians 10, which I spoke of last Sunday morning, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Once we think, I can't fall. I'm at a point in my Christian life that I won't slip into sin again. We're in really trouble, because we tend that way, and we tend even toward idolatry. Maybe it won't happen to us, but sad if it happens to our children, because we're not helping them or our children's children. And this is the things that Joshua was talking about. We need God's strength. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We don't walk by our own strength. not spiritually, we walk by the strength of the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Father, we know that this commandment is connected to all the others. If we put another god before you, we will fall into every other kind of sin. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us avoid idolatry. Even in the book of 1 John, it ends with, you know, little children, stay away from idols. All that talk about love and all those things, and it ends with that warning. And Father, we have the same things that we can get into even today that could pull us away from you. And Father, we pray that you'd help us not to make these other things in our life idols. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to be true to you. Help us to love you and follow you. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.